He's good. Amen. You're good. Amen. I'm good. Amen. We're good. Praise God. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Praise God. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, open them, please, with me to Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Glory to God. We're not necessarily in a series, but I do feel like we've gotten into a certain vein, I guess you'd say, of what God is wanting to say. And so I will mention a few things from last week, but just going forward and following the Holy Spirit, you know, thank God for the Holy Spirit. He helps us hit the mark and to know what to say and to do. But let's pray. Father, help us this morning. This is the highlight of our week right here. And Father, we need your help. We're not looking for man's plans, man's ideas, opinions, theories, philosophies, or thoughts. We want heaven this morning. And Father, I'm just the messenger. Father, I thank you for the anointing to minister. Father, I thank you that you'll give me boldness. You'll give me utterance this morning. I thank you that when I open my mouth, I will speak as the oracles of God, not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but a demonstration of the Spirit and power. And Father, I thank you that circumstances and situations, questions in people's lives will be specifically addressed, answered, and helped with today, Father. And we'll give you the praise and the glory for that. We're in expectation of all that this service has for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, in Matthew chapter 11, in verse 28, we looked at this verse last week, and it bears repeating, that Jesus said, "Come unto me, all that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest in your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And so I mentioned last week, this is an offer from God. Do you see that there? God is offering his people through Jesus a lifestyle or a flow of light and easy. And you know, I've lived the Christian lifestyle of not having a light and easy flow. I grew up watching people that loved God, that were born again, that certainly their life did not look like the light and easy flow. And I deal with people all the time that life is not light and easy. It's burdened, it's weighed down, it's conflict, it's crisis, turmoil all the time, nonstop. And Jesus is saying, I'm offering you something different. Amen. And last week we looked at to get into that light and easy flow. What? We can't carry around unnecessary weight. And unnecessary weight is weight that we're not equipped to handle. We're not equipped to carry around. And that weight that we saw was what? Concern, worries and fears and anxieties and stresses and all those things that God said, cast them onto me, I'll carry them. And when we try to carry them, we are struggling, right? You know, if you go to the gym and you got to be sober about what weight you can be throwing around, right? I used the example on the moose hunt of putting too much weight on my back and caused me to tip over and become a turtle on my back, flailing around, yelling for help, you know. And, you know, people get in trouble all the time trying to lift things and carry things that they don't have the strength for. They should have had some other person help them. Or, you know, have you ever seen the gym fail videos where people put too much weight on it, falls on them, or they lift up and all of a sudden it falls on them, you know, those things. Well, it's just weight they weren't accustomed to or able to carry. Well, God's saying, you can't carry these things and it'll cause you to struggle. And, you know, honestly, I probably could have just preached last week's message again. Because, let's be honest, if we had a casting off service last week, I'm going to guarantee that every single one of us, well, I'll say it this way, I'm going to guess that not one of us had a week where we weren't tempted or pressured in the things that we cast it off or our mind attacked. And I would guarantee that some of us, if not a lot of us, have at times taken that back. Maybe we had 5 or 6 casting off services. Every new day you had to have a new casting off service because you took it back the night before by worrying about it. We have to be skillful with these things. Light and easy flow is a life of peace. Now, go with me to Mark chapter 5. Actually, go to Mark 5 and you can hold your place there, but then also go to John 14 and verse 27. So we're going to go to Mark chapter 5, but then go to John chapter 14 and verse 27. I want to read something about this peace. Light and easy flow, he said, come unto me, I'll give you rest. Rest is peace. And in John 14, in verse 27, look what Jesus says unto us. Peace I leave with you. Well, why did he leave it with us? Because he doesn't need that supernatural peace where he's going. It's a place of peace up there. Down here, there's unrest, right? We live in a world run by the devil. And so he says, peace I'm leaving with you. But why did he leave it with us? So we could partake of it. Amen? And I know, I feel like sometimes I preach this, I feel like what it must look like on a cow's face when they all of a sudden are at a gate they don't recognize. Because I feel like some people look at me like a cow at a new gate. Like, the heck are you talking about? What are we doing here? And it seems like fairy tale land for some people. Because you're so accustomed to unrest. You're so accustomed to crisis. You're so accustomed to stress and anxiety. That's been your flow. That's been your life. And so you hear these things, and it's like that cow at the new gate. What are you talking about? Peace, light and easy flow. That's not for me. But I'm here to tell you, it is the lifestyle Jesus came to give you. Amen. Amen. You have to get past your past. You know, part of forgetting those things and moving forward, which, by the way, is the flow of God, is letting go of all the times it's been wrong, of all the times it didn't work, of all the times it failed, of all the times you entered into a new year the same old way, and of course it's going to be, you have to let that go. You holding on to that is crushing your faith. It's crushing your expectation. Peace I leave with you. Why? Because I want you to walk in peace. Glory to God. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. What's that peace? Supernatural peace. Think about the supernatural peace that he's talking about here. Peace I leave with you. Jesus, we never find him stressed out. We never find Jesus in a state of unrest. In fact, in the middle of the storm, he was doing just that, resting, asleep in the back part of the ship on a pillow. We never see Jesus confused or stressed out or anxious or fearful, ever. Why? He walked in that peace that he's leaving you. And if you would learn to walk in it, you would be walking it like he did and experience what he did. And you might think, well, that was Jesus. But if you look at Jesus' life, because what are the things that rob us of our peace? Outward circumstances. Money problems, doctor's reports, things with our family, things with our business, the world, life. And we think, well, that was Jesus. No, Jesus walked in that peace in the midst of that world. Amen. And he's telling us, I want you to walk in that peace. And he's telling us not pie in the sky or the dangling the carrot. He's telling you that knowing he also was the author of John 16:33 that says, in the world, you are guaranteed to have tribulation. And yet he's still saying to you, light and easy in this world of tribulation. Well, didn't Jesus exemplify light and easy and peace in the midst of tests and trials? People were constantly trying to kill him, and he never was bothered. People were constantly mocking him and doubting him and giving him a hard time and tests in the wilderness, and we see Jesus going through with peace. Hallelujah. What does it say over there in Psalms chapter 23? I believe it's verse 5 where it says, I'll prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. Amen. What's he saying? Learn to enjoy. He's not saying, I'm going to prepare. When he prepares a table for you, what's it for? Your enjoyment. Yeah. It's for your blessing. He didn't say, I'm preparing a table for you when all your enemies are gone, when everything's honky-dory and tiptoeing through the tulips. No. He said, in the world where you have tribulation, in the valley of the shadow of death. Isn't that what it says in the verse before? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. That rod and thy staff, they cover me. And it says, and I will prepare a table before you, the presence of your enemies. What's the presence of your enemies? The valley of the shadow of death. The world can be the valley of the shadow of death at times. And he's saying, sit down and eat right in the middle of that. He said, I'll show you. I'm going to take a nap right in the middle of hell on earth. He said, oh, that can never be me. Why can't it be you? When you say it can't be you, you're disregarding the supernatural capabilities of the Word of God. Look at this. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So he's telling us here, I'm leaving you peace. Don't get troubled or fearful. Well, would you say that being troubled and fearful is peaceful? No, it's the opposite of peace. He said, I'm giving you peace so you don't have to be troubled. You don't have to be fearful. And let me tell you something. Peace is not something you can compromise. Or should I say it this way? It's not something you can afford to compromise. Now flip over to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. In verse 25, we're not going to read the whole story. We'll just look at a couple of verses here just to set the tone. Mark 5 and verse 25 says, there was a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, suffered many things of many physicians, spent all that she had, was nothing better, grew worse. Bad condition, right? We know that she encounters Jesus. She uses faith. She receives her miracle. And then we drop down to verse 34. Jesus said unto her, daughter, your faith has made you whole. Now look at the instruction. See, faith can make you whole. Peace can keep you whole. Go in peace. Faith has made you whole. Go in peace and be whole, or be continued, right? Ever be whole. What this is Jesus telling her here is that if you compromise peace, you compromise wholeness. Wholeness represents what? Heaven on earth. Wholeness represents blessing. Wholeness represents the abundant life as it is in heaven on the earth. What's that mean? Your bills being paid, your body being healed, your kids walking in the things of God, favor, blessing, protection, all these things, wisdom, revelation. That represents wholeness. But look at what he says here. Go in peace and be ye whole. What does it say in the Amplified there? Can we pull that up in the Amplified? Daughter, your faith, your trust, confidence in me, spring from faith in God, has restored you to health. Go into peace, and look at this, be continually healed and freed from your stressing bodily disease. What's he saying to her? Your faith made you whole, but if you want to continue that wholeness, which is the blessing, peace can't be compromised. Do you know how much of our blessings up until this point, if you're a person that has not walked in peace, you've walked in trouble, I don't mean getting in trouble, I mean you letting your heart be troubled, walked in fear, walked in anxiety, walked in unrest, walked in stress, walked in anxiousness, that's the flow of your life. Do you know how much wholeness you have forfeited? That's not to beat you up, it's to say, let's stop it now. I have to wake up tomorrow. I have to live tomorrow. I have to live the next day. I have how many years left? I might as well start doing it and getting wholeness out of my life. But if you mess with peace, you mess with your wholeness. and something in your area of your life will be off and missing. You know, one affects the other. It's like cause and effect. And I thought of, you know, shooting a bow. The obvious thing is you want to hit the target, you want to hit the mark. And you have this bow and you have these arrows and they have the ability and you get them all tuned up and you get it all ready to go from the archery shop. And man, that thing can hit 50, 60, 70 yards just hitting in a bullseye, and it's got the ability to do things. But if you hold the bow wrong, stand wrong, mess with your stance, even though the bow and the arrows are tuned up and ready to go and have the ability to do something, if you mess with that, it's going to mess with where your shot goes. I mean, just one way you hold the bow different and your arrows are going to hit in a different spot. That affects that. Well, it's the same thing with this. If you mess with your peace in any area, something in your life is going to be messed with in your wholeness. You can't afford anymore to live a life not in peace. That's why God is stressing these things to us. Ladies and gentlemen, if you are under attack right now and you feel the pressure and the oppression, and it seems like things are being stirred up with people, things are being stirred up in your life, you are not alone right now. Can anybody testify, big amen, say, yep, amen, that's me. I know it's rampant through the body of Christ right now. It's rampant in the body of Christ right now. Attacks and assaults, the devil unleashing. Why? We're on the verge of some things. Yeah, go with me to John chapter 10 and verse 10. So Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The opposite of peace is fear. And you know, that word fear is kind of what we're going to be talking about mostly today. But within that word fear, wouldn't you say anxiousness would be in there? Would stress be in there? Yeah. Worry would be in there, right? It's unrest, it's lack of peace. But in John 10 and verse 10, look what it says here. The thief cometh, now look at this, to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Steal, kill, and destroy. The devil is constantly on his job to steal, kill, and destroy. He doesn't take Christmas off, doesn't take Easter off, doesn't take summer off. Doesn't go vacation for a couple weeks and give us some freedom. No, he's always looking to steal, kill, and destroy. But look at the very first thing that the devil is coming for, to steal. And I thought it was amazing. I had Julie, she's over in the children's church. She did the offering last night. And she's someone that prays and tuned to the Spirit. And the Holy Ghost talked to her about how the devil's coming to steal something. And when she preached, when she mentioned that, it's like, wow, that goes along with what I'm saying tomorrow. Must be the Holy Ghost is saying the same things. Yeah. And the Spirit of God told her that the devil is coming to steal her peace. Yeah. Why? Because if he can rob our peace, he can get us into the killing and the destroying. He's coming for our peace. Yeah. He's an enemy coming for our peace. And Jesus told us, don't be afraid, but be in peace. And you have to understand something about this word fear and the word afraid. Go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. What is this doing, helping us to become skillful? I am telling you, your wholeness is being jeopardized. You're afraid for your kids? Worst thing you can do. You're worried about your money? Worst thing you can do. Glory to God. You're anxious about your job and the economy and Omicron. I mean, it sounds like a stinking transformer. Watch out for the Omicron. Right? I mean, everything's out there trying to get us afraid of everything. I just read a report now. Oh, 2022, even a worse pandemic's going to show up. Something with the bird flu. I mean, it's never going to stop. The world is never going to stop being the world. That's why eventually we need to be skillful and strategic to start walking into the peace that he offers, because the world's not going to stop. Yeah. It's just going to, I mean, we had Delta, Omicron, what's going to be next? Sounds like bird fluocron or something. I mean, I'm reading and new pandemics and things that they're talking about. It's like, the world is just trying to pump this stuff in us. What? Steal your peace. You read some of the headlines. Economists warn. Experts warn. What is it? Sowing discord, sowing unrest into your life. Yeah, why are we shocked that the headlines are like that? The devil's in control. Stop looking to the news for some good news. Stop looking to the news to comfort you. This is my news right here. Oh, it's prosperity today. Okay. Oh, the forecast is peace for today for me. Oh, the experts, Paul, the expert, says authority's mine today. This is the report we go by. Come on, people. And you don't recognize these things, how subtle they are, but the little foxes come to spoil the vine. And when wholeness is disrupted, you know, we think our, you know, in the terms of our body, our little toe's our little toe, but let's smash it. Let's smash that little toe and let's see how much your little toe is just your little toe. Or just my pinky nail is just a little part of my body. Let's rip off your pinky nail right now. Let's dig right in and rip it off and see. Little things can turn into big things. Amen. In 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7, so remember this. The devil goes to steal, kill, and destroy, but he's strategic in how he does it. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. Notice what it says about fear. It says that it's spiritual. Now, it manifests in circumstances, situations, thoughts, and different things or words that cause us to be afraid, but it's spiritual in root. Well, if God is not giving it, but it's coming from the spiritual realm, that only leaves one other place or source that it can come from. Because there's only two entities of the spiritual realm, two kingdoms. God's kingdom, and he said, that's not me. So the devil. I remember one time Pastor Nancy ministered over me, and she talked about how the devil has attacked me strategically, but she mentioned in it how he's a being and an agent of fear. That's what he is. He is nothing but fear. And if we were to give the devil truth serum and be able to interview him, he's terrified. He's terrified of Jesus and what's going to come to him. And so he wants to, misery loves company. Yeah. Why do you think the offended people always gather together to talk bad about everybody else? It's amazing. People will leave the church and I'll hear all of a sudden they're getting together for coffee. Why? Misery loves company. And the devil's afraid and he doesn't want to be afraid alone. He does not want to be afraid alone. So you know what he does? He tries to get other people afraid. The devil will use fear as a tactic to what? Steal your peace. Now, why would we ever enter into at any time? And I know circumstances can be big and they can be a heavy blow to our natural mind and our flesh, but that's why I'm trying to get across to you that is the wrong response. We have to be strategic and skillful. Why would we ever enter into fear when we know it's being hand-delivered by the one who's already been told on that his goal is to destroy you? If your kids were trick-or-treating and they went to a house that people kind of wonder about the person in there, and all of a sudden a villain-looking creature enters the door and is going like this. And you've already heard rumors about this place. And then all of a sudden, like, you know this person is not a good person. I mean, your kids wouldn't be there first, but you understand what I'm saying. They're handing out candy. And he hands out something, and right on it, it says poison. Would you allow your children, or would you yourself, someone's hand, you know, this move right here. Here, I got something for you. And it says poison on it. Oh, yeah. It's stupid. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. But how many times the devil will stand at the gateway? Come on. What's going to happen to your kids? Gulp. Yeah. What is going to happen to my kids? Oh, my gosh, what's going to happen to my kids? How are you going to pay your bills? Right. Oh, my gosh, what if I lose my house? Gulp. Yeah. Why would you do that? You wouldn't do it with the Halloween candy or someone giving you something, that, you know, just handing things out like that. And here we're telling you, the devil's handing out fear. Go to Mark chapter 5 and verse 1. Glory to God. What is it? It's about recognizing and understanding some things about fear. And I know this will probably continue into next week, some things, because there's just things stirring in my heart that we don't have time to get out. But you know how vital these things are? I'll tell you. Pastor Nancy Dufresne, not too long ago, for 2 years straight, preached along these lines of the mind and not getting into worry and fear. I can't tell how many sermons Dr. Dufresne would start by saying, go to Matthew chapter 6, and it would be a go look at the birds sermon. Because remember when Jesus said, don't be afraid for anything in your life. Instead, go watch the birds. Because the birds, they don't sow, they don't reap, they don't gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not more better than a bird? Right? These things at times are emphasized over and over and over again because they're so vital. Amen? And in Mark chapter 5 and verse 1, it says, they came over unto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. Now what this is going to do is it's going to disarm the enemy for you. So they got to the other side, the country of the Gadarenes, and when he had come out of the ship, immediately there met him a man of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit. That means he's possessed by the devil, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Why was he stronger than natural? Because he was possessed by a supernatural force. Verse 4, because that he had often been bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken into pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, cried with a loud voice, and said, what do I have to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you by God, don't torment me, or torment me not. For he said unto him, come out of the man, you unclean spirit. And then he asked him, what is your name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was near unto mountains a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the pigs, that we may enter them. We know the story. They go into the pigs, they go over the cliff, but the thing that happened was this man was delivered, but he went into town and he testified of all the works that God had done. Well, on this other side in here represented breakthrough, represented increase for the kingdom, for this man's family, for anybody this man would come in contact with, for all the people that would get turned on by Jesus and then receive what they have. This represented breakthrough. It represented increase. And the breakthrough of what? The devil had placed a ceiling over this, had placed a covering over this man, binding him, which was affecting the kingdom of God, which was affecting this man's family, all of his friends, the people he came in contact with, this own man's life. And the breakthrough, the devil gets removed off this man's life, and the kingdom goes forward, this man goes forward, blessing goes forward, increase in blessing. But it didn't come without a battle. Because in Mark chapter 4, to get to the other side, they first had to be on the other side. And in Mark chapter 4 and verse 35, we know the story, but you need to see this because in your own life, you have to understand when things get kicked up and stirred up and the dust storms and fear and the worry and they seem so scary, it's for a purpose. Yeah. Amen? Mark 4:35, when the same day was come, when evening was come, he said to them, let's pass over to the other side. What's he saying? There's breakthrough over there. What's the breakthrough? Cast the devil out of this guy. There's breakthrough over there. It says he sent away, verse 36, the multitude. They took him even in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there it was. There arose. Shocker! There arose, out of nowhere, a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said, Master, do you care not that we perish? And he arose, rebuked the wind, said unto the sea, peace be still. The wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, look what he said, why are you afraid? What did the disciples enter into? Fear. Who gives fear? Devil gives fear. This is what I want you to see to help you, your own life, to disarm you. No doubt, there's no doubt what they saw, felt, and experienced. They thought it was over. No doubt it was a lot for their mind to comprehend. No doubt it was a lot for their flesh to comprehend. But what did we find when they got to the other side? Every bit of fear that they were experiencing in the middle of that water was nothing but a lie. Right? You've heard the analogy or acronym, I should say, of fear. False evidence, appearing real. There's evidence, but it's false evidence. Why? That evidence told them you're dead. The truth was, they're not. But notice what was on the other side. The devil knew my grip on this part of my kingdom overtaking. I'm losing my grip. You know what the devil wants? He wants to grip your finances. Why? Because if he loses his grip, peace comes in and joy and prosperity in your finances. You know what the devil wants to have a grip on? Your children. Your body. Why? When he loses his grip, the breakthrough comes. Well, how did the devil attempt to stop this? He kicked up a dust storm that resulted, or the goal was what? Fear, 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 fear. Now, thank God there was a skillful one in this boat. But how many times does the devil in our lives, remember, he's coming to steal. How's he going to steal? He's going to kick things up. You know, it's amazing. The house that we're living in and the blessing to get into it and all that went into it. But what's crazy is I was looking for a house for 26 months and pulled up to a house that I liked, had a Real Estate Advantage sign on it out front. And so I called the number, or I might have looked online, I can't remember, to find out what they were asking for. It was way out of our price range. And there was nothing there as far as, you know, anything, until the Spirit of God told me, make an appointment with the realtor to see it. Walked into the house, and this is amazing now, walked into the house, the Holy Spirit testified to me, this is yours. As soon as God started talking, the devil started talking. Before even making the appointment to go see it, I didn't have any thoughts of fear or anything. I'm just going to see a house I can't afford. As soon as God said I could have something, the devil was right there to try to put things in place to disqualify me from it. What disqualifies you from it? Lack of faith. That's why Jesus said here, why are you afraid? You have no faith. What's the devil's purpose? Get you out of faith. By how? Kicking up a storm. Of what? Something to make you afraid. Accusations. Thoughts. About your kids, about your money, about your body, right? And instantly start talking to me. You could never have this house. How are you going to pay for this? There's no way you can have this house. Don't get your hopes up on this. I mean, immediately he's there to try to what? Steal my peace. Amen. And then when the Holy Ghost gave me the instructions of how to get it, talk to the owner who was going to give us the house, then immediately things started to come up, how it's going to fall through and all the other, then they moved on to the next thing. And then when we got into the house, it was instantaneously for about the next 3 or 4 months, my mind was tormented nonstop. You're going to lose this place. You can't pay for this place. You see what your money says and what's he trying to do? Get me to lose my peace. Well, here I am 8, 9 years later, still in it, never missed a payment. What was it? A storm kicked up to get me to lose my peace. But thank God I had a little bit of skill to get through it. But how many of us just take that candy from this and eat it and drink that poison and we think about it, meditate on it, and we don't do the right things and we're not skillful with it. But the devil played his hand. He showed us how he does things. I don't want my kingdom lose grip on that, so I'm going to make something happen to make you lose your peace, to get you to turn back or to get taken out altogether? What are the things in your life that the devil's losing his grip on that you know there's freedom for, but at the same time it's terrifying to you? Maybe it's obeying God in something. Maybe it's something with your kids. Maybe it's something with your finances. Maybe it's something in your body. And there's circumstances, situations kicked up. What is the purpose of these things? To get you into fear, which gets you out of faith, which gets you out of peace. Jesus said that in Mark 4:35. Why are you afraid? You have no faith. Go to Ephesians 6 real quick. The devil's trying to get you to take the bait. Don't take his bait. I want to teach you to be skillful with fear. Ephesians 6 and verse 16. Now remember, you lose your peace through fear. Jesus said, what? Take my peace, don't be afraid. You lose your peace through fear. When you get into fear, you have now stepped out of the realm of God's help. Faith is the realm where God can help you. Above all, taking the shield of faith. Wherewith, or with the shield of faith. Notice he says has to take the shield of faith. You do. Wherewith, or with the shield of faith, you'll be able to quench. Look at the next word after quench. All. Every attack, every scheme, every wile, every device of the enemy can be quenched with the shield of faith. Look at this. Quenching all the fiery darts of the wicked. The devil can't touch you when you go forth in life bearing the shield of faith. So if the shield of faith is the thing that he's constantly smacking his head up against and can't get past, what is he going to attempt to remove? The shield of faith. How's he going to do it? Through fear. Through things to make you afraid. You can't enter into it and take the bait. Amen. We ought to recognize anything to do with fear is coming from. You see, growing up, before my sister understood that my job was to be this in her life, I came to know that my sister, when she was little, had a love for Oreo cookies. And I also found out, I don't think anybody would like this, my sister didn't like to be confined to small spaces. So when she was little, I took an Oreo cookie, threw it in the bottom of a sleeping bag. So my little sister would crawl in, and then I'll close off the end. Horrible, I know. Pre-Jesus years. Got her to what? Take the bait. Took the bait, and she struggled, and I loved it. The more she cried, the tighter I held. Awful, I know. It's terrible. She's alive and well today, so we're good. We're good, but took the bait. And so many times the devil, that fear is so easy to entertain. It's so easy to think about. You can't afford it, people. We'll close with this, James 4 and verse 7. Praise God. You better recognize the fear that's trying to get on you or that's in you, and you better do something about it. Things will be lost. Wholeness will be compromised. James 4 and verse 7. I'm going to tell you now how to resist fear. Look at the Bible. It says, submit to God, yourselves therefore to God. Notice this. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Whose job is it to resist? Our job. If you want to know how to be skillful, see, the problem is, and maybe we'll look at this going forward in the weeks to come, we've seen it many times, but when you entertain those thoughts of fear, and listen, doctor's reports can be real. The storm was real. The storm was real. But notice this about the storm. The storm represented the test. We already have the answer. If we do the right answer, no test can take us out. You have to understand that. The tests look big, bad, and scary, but we have the answer to the test that's big, bad, and scary. I remember going into my 10th grade biology Regents exam. Knew nothing about biology. Didn't need to. I had my friend next to me, and we worked out a signal system. He was going to give me all the answers, and I was going to... Yes! Pre-Jesus years! Paul killed people, so don't look at me that way. I have not killed anyone that I know of. That I know of. And I looked at that test. No idea. But the one next to me did. And man, I knew if he touched his elbow, it was A. If he pulled his ear, it was B. And we had a knocking system, so I knew what question he was on. And I got through my 10th grade Regents exam with passing flying colors. Am I incriminating my, like, is there anything that can happen to me right now? As a 42-year-old person, can anything happen to me by admitting this? Can they revoke my diploma? I mean, I'm good. Statue of limitations passed here. I didn't have a clue how to get through the test, but I had the answer, so that didn't matter. What didn't matter? We have the answer. And you have to resist when those circumstances come and the doctor's report and things with your kids and you're hearing things and rumors and thoughts come. You have to be skillful to resist the devil to get him to flee from you. You want to know how to do that? It's very simple. When thoughts of fear come, just like when the worry tried to get back on you, what are you supposed to do? That's not my problem. It's not my problem. How did Jesus resist the devil? He shut him down with his mouth. It's as simple as this. You recognize thoughts of fear. What did Jesus do to the storm? Rebuked it. He stood up and rebuked it with his mouth. I'm sorry, you're going to have to get past yourself. And your personality and how you think things should be done. The champion of the world who never failed showed us how to do it. You have to open your mouth. He talked to a tree that was talking to him. That taunted him. He talked to a sea that was taunting him. When the devil was taunting him through the man at the Gadarenes, Jesus opened his mouth. You need to open your mouth and say, I rebuke in the name of Jesus that spirit of fear. I refuse to take those thoughts in the name of Jesus. That's what you do. That's simple. When you recognize fear coming, I rebuke that spirit of fear in the name of Jesus. I will not take those thoughts of fear. You rebuke it out loud in the name of Jesus. And then just start entering into praise and worship. And these things will subside and go away. But the devil will beat and beat and beat and beat on you. Why? To break you down. By repeated sayings, right? Kids do that all the time, right? I was just talking to someone recently. And in the background, Mom, 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 Mom. Well, they know what they're doing. The kid knows what they're doing. If I just keep going, I'm going to wear down. Mom, 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 Mom. And finally, Mom's like, what? And that's what the devil will do. Break you down, break you down, break you down, break you down. Until finally, you're like, I take that fear. What am I going to do? And you meditate on it. You think about it. Or you stop it at the gate. I rebuke that spirit of fear in the name of Jesus. I will not receive that thought. I don't take those thoughts in the name of Jesus. I walk in peace. I walk in courage. I walk in strength. God is my help. This is strategic. All the mighty men and women of God, starting with Jesus, this is what they did. When Brother Hagin was $2 million in debt and didn't have the money to build the Rhema campus that he started building, the Bible school in Oklahoma, and the money had stopped coming in and the bank was after him, and people said to him, Brother Hagin, can you imagine the thoughts of fear, embarrassment, and starting something you can't finish, people's lives being hurt? And they said to Brother Hagin, wow, Brother Hagin, you must carry a heavy load having all that. And Brother Hagin said, I don't have a care in the world. God told me to do it, and if he doesn't have the money, it's his project. He can shut it down. People can take it up with him. He was not going to entertain it. And he was constantly being able to be seen and heard speaking things. It'll come to pass. It'll come to pass. The money will come. It'll come to pass. I rebuke that spirit of fear. Fear's not coming on me. This is how mighty men and women of God do it. This is how Pastor Nancy Dufresne lives her life. Oh, I want to be like those high and mighties. Okay, well then be like those high and mighties. Starting with your Savior. Your Savior, Mr. High and Mighty himself, opened his mouth and rebuked these things. When they rose up against him, he opened his mouth and rebuked him. He didn't sit there quiet. He didn't think it. He didn't hope it away. He didn't pray it away. He didn't ask for prayer to pray it away. People have asked me before, Pastor, will you pray that this fear will leave me? No. That's not how it leaves. You got to do something with your mind and with your mouth. That's how fear is going to leave you. Stand in your ground. What did Jesus say to Peter? Peter, Satan desires to have you, but I prayed for you that your faith would fail not, that you wouldn't get into fear. You'd be in faith. You got to do it, Peter. Amen. Just like you did last week with all the worries and cares. You comprise them. Hopefully you cast them off. If you haven't, get them off you. Now you need to think, what am I afraid of? What honestly is my fear? What fears am I having? Loneliness? I'm fear that this is going to happen to my family. I'm fearful this is going to happen to my kids. Start rebuking that. And I'll tell you, at first, Jesus in the wilderness showed us, he only told about three times. I guarantee in 40 days there was more than three times. The Bible just testified of three, but what happened? The devil left him after Jesus was skillful. That tormenting, oppressive thoughts and things, peace will come to you when you walk in the ways of the Prince of Peace. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word this morning. We are grateful. Fear is not okay. Fear is not okay. It's a tactic and scheme of the evil, wicked one that's attempting to rob from us, steal from us. So, Father, we rebuke right now that spirit of fear. We rebuke, we speak to that spirit of fear, and we command you to subside. We command you to leave. We don't take those thoughts in the name of Jesus. We thank you. We are beings of peace. We are beings of bliss and joy. Hallelujah. We thank you for it, Father. I pray that each person would walk in the light of this, that they would become skillful, Father, and that their faith would fail not. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, please, nobody looking around, I want to give everybody an opportunity to go to heaven. Heaven has nothing to do with church attendance or lack thereof, or finances or lack thereof in your giving, or how good you were, how bad you were. Heaven has to do with one thing, Jesus, and what you do with Jesus. There was a man that died on the cross with Jesus. He was a sinner. He was a thief. And he was being sentenced to death for his crimes. He wasn't a churchgoer. He wasn't what the world would call a good person. He wasn't spiritual. But in his last moments, he looked to Jesus and he said, I believe in you. And Jesus said, okay, you're in. Why? Because that's the qualification, believing in your heart and confessing with your mouth. And that man did that. So if you're here this morning, you're watching online, and you can say, I don't know that I'd go to heaven. Well, my goodness, we don't want another moment to go by. You don't have to join this church. You never have to step foot in this church. You never have to step foot back in this church. It's not about that. But if you're here or listening and you say, I've never received Jesus, I want to receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I want to know that I'm going to heaven. It starts in your heart, that belief in your heart, and then we pray a prayer together, all of us in one accord with all our voices. Pray a prayer inviting him in. It starts in your heart, but if you're here and you say, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven, but I want to be sure. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Would you just lift your hand in there? If you've never done it, if you've already done this, don't let a bad year or some screw-ups think you've lost your salvation. That's a lie of the enemy. You have not lost your salvation. You may need to repent, but he has not forsaken you. Is there anyone that's never, ever asked Jesus into their heart? You've never done that. Would you just raise your hand? Anybody at all before we close? Father, I don't see any hands, not surprised by that, but if there is someone in here or watching by online right now, I pray they would not pass from this life. They would not go into another day until they made Jesus the Lord of their life. And if you're listening, it's just easy. It's simple. You pray a prayer. You declare your belief in Jesus. It sounds like this. Lord, I believe in you. I ask you to come into my heart. If you'll pray that, he'll do his part. If you say, I'm confused by this, I need more answers on this, I have questions, the phone number's there, the email's there. Get a hold of me. I'll talk to you about salvation. I'll show you what the Bible says, and we'll get you into a relationship with the Father. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet, and let's rejoice and thank him before we leave. We start with praise. Let's end with praise. We love you, Lord. We praise you. You are our answer. You are our help. We bless you. We glorify you. We magnify you. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you. Appreciate you. See you next week. You're dismissed.